Hello and welcome to Spoilers, this first introduction to the play Gamma Gurton's Needle. Following are some introductory notes and a plain text recording of the dialogue, a plain text being just our first edit for our full cast audio recording. So it has all the text, but no SFX, no Foley, and it's the edit we use to hunt out textual errors, takes, retakes, cuts. It's not mixed, it's not fixed, it's not perfect, and we may change the take for the final thing. If you want to just enjoy our production, stop listening now and wait a week or two for the release. Or if you're listening in the future, look for the episodes, future up the podcast list. Seriously, this is an exercise that some listeners won't enjoy. If it ain't for you, move on. If you're still listening, let's enter Spoiler Land.
Spoiler Land.
So, Gamma Gurton's Needle, in case you have forgotten, is in Hodge's arse. The needle, as we were told at the top of the play, is lodged in Hodge's holy leather breeches. Do not worry about the location of the needle. It is there. It's Act 5, a fairly busy act in terms of Cummings, but it's all about pulling the various people together and letting the truth come tumbling out. So enter a bandaged and enraged Dr. Rat, the parson, with Bailey, new character. Bailey is the law. Bailey is, as in Bailiff, all reasonableness in person throughout, and suspects that Dr. Rat may have brought some of this injury on himself.
Then I confess my fault here in this season. But I hope you will not judge so much against reason.
And methinks by your own tale of all that ye name, if any played the thief, you were the very same.
Because he did trespass on Dame Chat's property, so he sort of had the hurt coming.
The women, they did nothing. As your words made probation, but stoutly withstood your forcible invasion. If that a thief at your window to enter should begin, would you hold forth your hand and help to pull him in? Or would you keep him out? I pray you answer me.
Marry, keep him out, and a good cause why. But I am no thief, sir, but an honest, learned clerk.
Yea, but who knoweth that when he meets you in the dark? I'm sure your learning shines not out your nose.
I'm warming to Bailey, though that's possibly because I'm playing him, which incidentally wasn't the original plan, but became necessary because of how I see the final edit coming out. It's a long story. Anyway, Dr. Rat repeatedly shows off his bandaged head, as if it's all the case he needs. They call on Dame Chat, and here I should add that Bailey has this mute servant character who does the knocking and fetching of people business. Scapethrift, as this silent character is named, is of course a massive opportunity for silent comic upstaging. He will be given a voice in our final edit, but obviously not here. Chat is suitably fetched. Bailey sets out Dr. Rat's story to Chat, but she's having none of it.
That I would have murdered him! Fie on him, wretch! An evil mote he for it. Our lord, I beseech, I will swear on all the books that opens and shuts, he feigneth this tale out of his own guts.
She denies he was anywhere near the house. She thinks she attacked Hodge.
Man, will you say I broke your eed?
How canst thou prove the contrary?
Nay, how provest thou that I did the deed?
Too plainly, by St. Mary. This proof, I trow, may serve, though I no word spoke. Look at this!
Dr. Rat keeps showing everyone the damage done. Repeated comic business potential here, in so much of how does he show off this hurt? Is he bandaged? Does he simply point at a bandaged head? Does he lift up the bandage and everyone goes, ew? So many options. Dame Chat says she didn't attack Rat, but another person because of, well, backstory.
This afternoon, a friend of mine, for goodwill, gave me warning, and bade me well look to my roost and all my capons' pens. For if I took not better heed, a knave would have my hens. Then I, to save my goods, took so much pains as him to watch, and, as good fortune served me, it was my chance him for to catch. What strokes he bear away, or other what was his gains, I wot not, but I am sure he had something for his pains.
Yet tell'st thou not who it was.
Who? It was a false thief that came like a false fox, my pulling to kill and mischief.
But knowest thou not his name?
I know it. But what then? It was that crafty cullion Hodge, my Gammer Girton's man.
And so Hodge is called for. Mute servant knocking action here. Gammer Girton comes out of the house, and soon she and Chat are exchanging, pleasantries. See comments earlier.
Sir, reverence of your masterdom. And you were out a door. Should be so bold for all her brags to call her arrant whore. And I knew Hodge as bad as tau. I wish me endless sorrow. And should not take the pains to hang him up before tomorrow.
What have I stolen from thee or thine, thou ill-favoured old trot?
A great deal more, by God's blessed, than chever by thee got. That thou knowest well. I need not say it.
And the second confusion is brought up. Gammer thinks Chat stole the needle. Chat that Gammer thinks that Chat has stolen a cock. And Hodge was ordered to kill her, Chat's hens. Think I've got that right. Bailey is confused, but he suspects mischief. At which point Hodge appears. Bailey calls to him.
Come on, fellow. It is told me thou art a shrewiwis. Thy neighbour's hens thou takest and plays the
me?
Two-legged fox.
What?
Their chickens and their capons too, and now and then their cocks.
I defy them all that dare it say. Chammer's true as the best.
Were it not take within this hour in Dame Chat's hen's nest.
Take there? No, master. Should not do it for a house full of gold.
So Hodge denies going into Chat's and getting hit. Chat accuses him of entering her house and being hit. Rat accuses her of hitting him.
Thou, or the devil in thy coat, swear this, I dare be bold.
Swear me no swearing, Queen. The devil he give thee sorrow. All is not worth a gnat. Thou canst swear till tomorrow. Where is the harm he hath? Show it by God's bread. You beat him with a witness. But the stripes light on my head.
Showing his head wound once again.
Beat me? God's blessed body, should first I throw a burst thee. I think, and tread my hands loose, Callet, should have crushed thee.
Thou shitten knave, I trow. Thou knowest the full weight of my fist. I am foully deceived, unless thy head and my doorbar kiss.
Hold thy chat, or... Thou criest so loud, can no man else be heard?
Well, knave, an I had thee alone, I would surely wrap thy costard.
Sir, answer me to this. Is thy head whole or broken?
Yea, Master Bailey. Blessed be every good token.
Is my head whole? I warrant you. 'Tis neither scurvy nor scald. What, Dame Chat, you foul beast, dost think 'tis either piled or bald? Nay, I thank God, child, not for all that thou mayst spend, that Chad one scab on my narse as broad as thy finger's end.
Come nearer here.
Yes, that I dare.
And, of course, Hodge has no wound. He can't have been hit over the head. Chat doesn't believe it, and there is this element of, come on, Chat, can you not put the two together yet? But never mind. Plot convenience.
Camest thou not, knave, within this hour, creeping into my pens, and there was caught within my house, groping among my ends?
Plague both on thy ends and thee! A cart, or a cart! Should I were hanged as I as a tree, and I were as false as thou art? Give my gammer again her washicle thou stole away in thy lap.
And we're back to the needle. Someone has brought up the needle which has started all this unravelling. Gammer accuses Dame Chat of the theft.
Marry, a vengeance to her heart. That whore has stolen my needle.
Thy needle, old witch? How so? It were alms thy skull to knock. So didst thou say the other day that I had stolen thy cock. and roasted him to my breakfast, which shall not be forgotten. The devil pull out thy lying tongue and teeth that be so rotten.
You give me my meal. As for my cock, should be very loath. That should hear tell he should hang on thy false faith and troth.
And Gamma is forced to reveal her source for this accusation. It's Dickon. And Bailey is not impressed.
Dickon, master, the bedlam. I'm very sure ye know him.
Oh, Dickon? Oh, a false knave, by God's pity. Ye were but a fool to show him. I durst adventure, well, the price of my best cape, that when the end is known, all will turn to a jeep. Told he not you that besides she stole your cock that tide?
No, master, no indeed, for then he should have lied. My cock is, I thank Christ, safe and well afine.
Yea, but that rugged colt, that whore, that tib of thine, said plainly thy cock was stolen and in my house was eaten. That lion cut is lost.
A.K.A.
That lion cut is lost, that she is not swinged and beaten. And yet, for all my good name, it were a small amends. I picked not this gear, hearest thou, out of my fingers' ends. But he that heard it told me, who thou of late didst name, Dickon, whom all men knows it was the very same.
And all Dickon's lies start tumbling out. Chat and Rat discover, rather late in the day, that one attacked the other. And once that comes out, Dr. Rat loses his shit.
God sacrament! The villain knave hath dressed us round about. He is the cause of all this brawl, that dirty shitten lout. When Gamma Gertner...
He goes on for a while. It's been a long night, and it is still night. Finally, Dickon enters, and after but a few lines of procrastination, he just shrugs and says, "So what if I lied?"
"What if I have? 500 such have I seen within these 7 years. I am sorry for nothing else but that I see not the sport which was between them when they met, as they themselves report."
"The greatest thing, Master Rat, is see how he is dressed."
"What, devil, need he be groping so deep in Goodwife Chat's hen's nest?"
"Yea, but it was thy drift to bring him into the briars."
"Dog's bread, hath not such an old fool wit to save his ears? He showeth himself herein, you see, so very a cox. The cat was not so madly allured by the fox to run in the snares was set for him doubtless, for he leapt in for mice, and this, Sir John, for madness."
Well,
basically, Dr. Rat deserved it, and Rat, being a good forgiving Christian soul, wants revenge on Dickon.
"In the king's name, Master Bailey, I charge you, set him fast."
"What? Fast at cards or fast on sleep? It is the thing I did last."
"Nay, fast in fetters, false varlet, according to thy deeds."
"Master Dr. Rat, there is no remedy. I must entreat you need some other kind of punishment."
"Nay, by all hallows, his punishment, if I may judge, shall be naught else but the gallows."
"That was too sore. A spiritual man to be so extreme."
"Is he worthy any better, sir?"
But Bailey, seeing that excessive punishment isn't warranted here, tries to calm the situation down. Everyone, please get a sense of proportion. Gamma, of course, brings up her needle once again.
"He has almost undone us all. That is as true as steel. And yet, for all this great ado, shall never the near my meal."
"Oh, canst thou not say anything to that, Dickon, with least or most?"
"Yea, marry, sir, thus much I can say well. The needle is lost."
So everyone has been hurt by Dickon, so Bailey produces his compromise. He gets everyone to agree to abide by his decision.
"Now sayest thou, Dickon, art content this shall on me depend?"
"Go to, Master Bailey, say on your mind. I know ye are my friend."
"Then,
Mark ye well.
So, firstly, Dickon must kneel down and kiss Hodge's arse, which is a reversal of Dickon's injunction in Act 2 with the whole conjuring Satan bit.
To recompense this thy former action, because thou hast offended all to make them satisfaction, before their faces here kneel down, and as I shall thee teach, for thou shalt take an oath of Hodge's leather breech.
Then the rest of the company, well, broadly his judgment is, everyone be nice to Dickon and forgive. Which is nice, but you don't get the sense of Dickon having to recompense anyone. So everyone should just forgive and just be nice. Kind of thing.
First for Master Doctor, upon pain of his curse, where he will pay for all, thou never draw thy purse. And when ye meet at one pot, he shall have the first pull, and thou shalt never offer him the cup, but it be full.
So Dickon promises to kiss Hodge's arse, but warns Hodge not to fart in his face.
As I have promised, I will not deny it. But Hodge, take good heed now. Thou do not be shit me.
And here the action could be played a number of ways. Either Dickon kneels, kisses the arse, sees the needle which is there, and that prompts him to slap Hodge in that spot. Or he kneels, kisses the arse, just slaps the arse to note the kissing is done. Or Dickon gives Hodge a playful slap on the arse before the kissing, and actually the kissing never happens. Or, no, I think that's all the primary options you have with the arse-kissing action. Anyway, I quite like the first, but all are valid. The third is a good option, because, anyway, whatever happens, following the slap, which is the primary bit of action that must happen, Hodge feels something sharper than a slap in his arse.
Cogsart, thou false villain! Dost thou bite me?
What, Hodge, doth he hurt thee ere ever he be begin?
He thrust me into the buttock with a bodkin or a pin.
And, of course, it's the needle. It was there all along.
Chavit, by the mass, Gammer.
Not my kneel, Hodge.
Your kneel, Gammer. Your kneel.
No. Fie. Dost but dodge.
You found your kneel, Gammer. Here in my hand be it.
And with that discovery, all malice melts.
Ever?
By my troth, gossip Girton, I am even as glad as though I, mine own self, as good a turn had.
And I, by my conscience, to see it so come forth, rejoice so much at it as three needles be worth.
I'm no wit, sorry to see you so rejoice.
Nor I much the gladder for all this. But now, my good masters, since we must be gone, and leave you behind us here all alone, since at our last ending thus merry we be, for Gammer Girton's needle's sake, let us have applaudity.
I.e., clap, you bastards. And that's the end. Apart from some of the language, which might need massaging for a modern audience, this is a really fun comic play, though you must hunt for the physical funny around the text, otherwise it can be a bit tedious as it reads, which I suspect many a student in the past has picked up this play, especially with some of the language and the dialect, and gone Also, a live production working on the text over time with a set team will need to find a route through the language, the mama set of the text, with the different dialects and choices and compromises that we outlined in our spoilers for Act 1. And other more, inverted commas, accurate options are definitely available. This is definitely a play to go on our plays to stage live one day list, though to be fair, few plays we've looked at so far have failed to get placed. Very, very few. There's a sort of graduated list of plays we want to do that goes down to ones we're less bothered about, which I may talk about in a future podcast. But this one's relatively high up, has to be said. It can be doubled down in extremis to about 6 actors, which is quite manageable, though you can then also expand it to considerably more, including musicians and random supernumeraries. And so you can get the cast easily up to about 10 if you have a wish to do so. If you have any thoughts about my brief breakdown of the play, or if you have any disagreements with my thoughts, if I'm in plain error, let me know. I may have time to re-edit this podcast based on your thoughts. I do make mistakes. Part of the point of this podcast is to work through publicly thoughts about plays and to see if the composite hive mind of the world knows better. And that's it from this spoiler episode, and in fact all the spoiler episodes for Gamma Gurton's Needle. We will be coming back with spoiler episodes on the next production, The Life and Death of Jack Straw, which I'm really looking forward to doing. The full cast super deluxe edit of Gamma Gurton's Needle will be coming anon, but it may be a few weeks yet. But till then, here's the plain text of Act 5 to Gamma Gurton's Needle, performed by Hayden McCabe as Dickon the Bedlam, Geir Madland as Hodge, Pamela Flanagan as Dame Chat, Sarah Golding as Gamma Gurton, Rob Meissen as Dr. Rat, and myself as your host Robert Crichton, and as Bailey. Enjoy.
I can perceive none other. I speak it from my heart. But either ye are all in the fault, or else in the greatest part.
If it be counted his fault besides all his griefs, when a poor man is spoiled and beaten among thieves, then I confess my fault herein at this season. But I hope you will not judge so much against reason.
And methinks by your own tale of all that ye name, if any played the thief, you were the very same. The women, they did nothing, as your words made probation, but stoutly withstood your forcible invasion. If that a thief at your window to enter should begin, would you hold forth your hand and help to pull him in? Or would you keep him out? I pray you answer me.
Marry, keep him out, and a good cause why. But I am no thief, sir, but an honest, learned clerk.
Yea, but who knoweth that when he meets you in the dark? I'm sure your learning shines not out your nose. Was it any marvel, though the poor woman arose and start up, being afraid of that was in her purse? Methink you may be glad that your luck was no worse.
Is not this evil enough, I pray you, as you think?
Yea, but a man in the dark oft chances to wink, as soon he smites his father as any other man, because for lack of light discern him ne can. Might it not have been your luck with a spit to have been slain?
I think I am little better. My scalp is cloven to the brain. If there be all the remedy, I know who bears the knocks.
By my troth, and well worthy besides to kiss the stocks. To come in on the backside, when ye might go about, I know none such unless they long to have their brains knocked out.
Well, will you be so good, sir, as talk with Dame Chat? And know what she intended. I ask no more but that.
Let her be called, fellow, because the master doctor, I warrant in this case she will be her own proctor. She will tell her own tale in metre or in prose, and bid you seek your remedy, and so go wipe your nose. Ah, Dame Chat. Master doctor, upon you here complaineth, that you and your maid should in much disorder, and taketh many an oath that no word be feigned, laying to your charge how you thought him to murder. And on his part again, that same man saith further, he never offended you in word nor intent. To hear you answer hereto, we have now for you sent.
That I would have murdered him? Fie on him, wretch! An evil mote he be for it. Our Lord, I beseech, I will swear on all the books that opens and shuts, he feigneth this tale out of his own guts. For this 7 weeks with me, I am sure he sat not down. Nay, ye have other minions in the other end of the town, where ye were liker to catch such a blow than anywhere else, as far as I know.
Belike then, Master Doctor, your stripe there ye got not.
Think you I am so mad that where I was beat, I wot not? Will you believe this queen before she hath tried it? It's not the first deed she hath done and afterwards denied it.
What, man, will you say I broke your eed?
How canst thou prove the contrary?
Nay, how provest thou that I did the deed?
Too plainly, by St. Mary. This proof, I trow, may serve, though I no word spoke. Look at this.
Because thy head is broken, was it I that it broke? I saw thee, rat, I tell thee, not once within this fortnight.
No, Mary, thou sawest me not. For why? Thou hadst no light. But I felt thee for all the dark beshrew thy smooth cheeks. And thou groped me. This hurt will declare any day this 6 weeks. Look.
Answer me to this, Master Rat. When caught you this harm of yours?
A while ago, sir, God he knoweth, within less than these 2 hours.
Dame Chat, was there none with you, confess your faith, about that season? What, woman, let it be what it will, 'tis neither felony nor treason.
Yes, by my faith, Master Bailey, there was a knave not far who caught one good Philip on the brae with a doorbar. And well was he worthy, as it seemed to me. But what is that to this man, since this was not he?
Who was it, then? Let's hear.
Alas, sir, ask you that? Is it not made plain enough by the old mouth of Dame Chat? The time agreeth. My head is broken, her tongue cannot lie. Only upon a bare nay she saith it was not I.
No, Mary, was it not indeed. Ye shall hear by this one thing. This afternoon, a friend of mine, for goodwill, gave me warning, and bade me well look to my roost and all my capons' pens. For if I took not better heed, a knave would have my hens. Then I, to save my goods, took so much pains as him to watch. And, as good fortune served me, it was my chance him for to catch. What strokes he bare away, or other what was his gains, I wot not. But I am sure he had something for his pains.
Yet tell'st thou not who it was.
Who? It was a false thief that came like a false fox, my pulling to kill and mischief.
But knowest thou not his name?
I know it. But what then? It was that crafty Cullion Hodge, my Gammer Girton's man.
Call me the knave hither. He shall sure kiss the stocks. We shall teach him a lesson for filching hens or cocks.
I marvel, Master Bailey, so bleared be your eyes. An egg is not so full of meat as she is full of lies. When she hath played this prank, to excuse all this gear, she layeth a fault on such a one as I know was not there.
Was he not there? Look on his pate, that shall be his witness.
I would my head were half so whole, I would seek no redress. Ha!
Ah, God bless you, Gammer Girton.
God yield ye, master mine.
Thou hast a knave within thy house, Hodge, a servant of thine. They tell me that busy knave is such a filching one, the hen, pig, goose or capon, thy neighbour can have none.
My God, I'm much moved to hear any such report. Hodge was not wont, I trow, to have him in that sort.
A thievish or knave is not on live, more filching nor more false. Many a truer man than he has hanged up by the halls. And thou, his dame of all his theft, thou art the sole receiver. For Hodge to catch and thou to keep, I never knew none better.
Sir, reverence of your masterdom, and you were out a door, should be so bold for all her brags to call her arrant whore. And I knew Hodge as bad as tow. I wish me endless sorrow, and should not take the pains to hang him up before tomorrow.
What have I stolen from thee or thine, thou ill-favoured old trot?
A great deal more, by God's blessed, than chever by thee got, that thou knowest well. I need
stop there, I say, and tell me here, I pray you, this matter by the way, how chance Hodge is not here. Him would I fain have.
Alas, sir, he'll be here anon. I'll be handled too bad.
Master Bailey, sir, ye be not such a fool, well I know. But ye perceive by this lingering there is a pad in the straw.
I'll show you his face, I warrant thee. Look now where Hodge is.
Come on, fellow. It is told me thou art a shrewiest. Thy neighbour's hens thou takest and plays the two-legged fox. ducks, their chickens, and their capons too, and now and then their cocks.
I defy them all that dare it say. Cham as true as the best.
Were it not take within this hour in Dame Chat's hen's nest.
Take there? No, master. Should not do it for a house full of gold.
Thou, or the devil in thy coat, swear this I dare be bold.
Swear me no swearing, queen, the devil he give thee sorrow. All is not worth a gnat, thou canst swear till tomorrow. Where is the harm he hath? Show it by God's bread. Ye beat him with a witness, but the stripes light on my head.
Beat me? God's blessed body, should first like true have burst thee. I think, and tread my hands loose, Callet, should have crushed thee.
Thou shitten knave, I trow, thou knowest the full weight of my fist. I am foully deceived, unless thy head and my doorbar kiss.
Hold thy chat, or thou criest so loud, can no man else be heard?
Well, knave, an I had thee alone, I would surely wrap thy costard.
Sir, answer me to this. Is thy head whole or broken?
Yea, Master Bailey. Bless be every good token.
Is my head whole? I warrant you. 'Tis neither scurvy nor scald. What, Dame Chat, you foul beast, dost think 'tis either piled or bald? Nay, I thank God. Child, not for all that thou mayst spend, that Chad one scab on mine arse as broad as thy finger's end.
Come nearer here.
Yes, that I dare.
By our lady, here is no harm. Hodge's head is whole enough for all Dame Chat's charm.
By God's blessed, however the thing he cloaks or smoulders, I know the blows he bear away either with head or shoulders. Camest thou not, knave, within this hour, creeping into my pens, and there was caught within my house, groping among my hens?
Plague both on thy hens and thee! A cart, or a cart! Should I were hanged as I as a tree, and I were as false as thou art. Give my gammer again, her washicle, thou stole away in thy lap.
Yea, Master Bailey, there is a thing you know not on my hap. This drab, she keeps away my good. The devil, he might her snare. I pray you that I might have a right action on her.
Have I thy goods, old filth, or any such old sows? I am as true, I would thou knew, as the skin between thy brows.
Many a truer hath been hanged, though you escape the danger.
Thou shalt answer, by God's pity, for this thy foul slander.
Why, gammer, what can you charge her withal? To say so, ye do not well.
Marry, a vengeance to her heart. That whore has stolen my needle.
Thy needle, old witch? How so? It were alms thy skull to knock. So didst thou say the other day that I had stolen thy cock and roasted him to my breakfast, which shall not be forgotten. The devil pull out thy lying tongue and teeth that be so rotten.
Give me my needle. As for my cock, should be very loath. That should hear tell he should hang on thy false faith and troth.
Your talk is such I can scarce learn who should be most in fault.
Yet shall ye find no other wight save she by bread and salt.
Keep ye content a while. See that your tongues ye hold. Methinks you should remember this is no place to scold. How knowest thou, Gammer Girton, Dame Chat thy needle had?
To name you, sir, the party should not be very glad.
Yea, but we must needs hear it, and therefore say it boldly.
Such one has told the tale full soberly and coldly. Even he that looked on will swear on a book what time this drunken gossip my fair long nail uptook. The con. Master, the bedlam, sham very sure ye know him.
Oh, a Dickon? Oh, a false knave, by God's pity. Ye were but a fool to trow him. I durst adventure well the price of my best cape, that when the end is known, all will turn to a jape. Told he not you that besides she stole your cock that tide?
No, master, no indeed, for then he should have lied. My cock is, I thank Christ, safe and well afine.
Yea, but that rugged colt, that whore, that tib of thine, said plainly thy cock was stolen, and in my house was eaten. That lying cut is lost, that she is not swinged and beaten. And yet, for all my good name, it were a small amends. I pick not this gear, here's they, out of my fingers' ends. But he that heard it told me, who thou of late didst name, Dickon, whom all men knows it was the very same.
This is the case. You lost your Neil about the doors, and she answers again she has no cock of yours. Thus in your talk and action, from that you do intend, she is whole 5 mile wide from that she doth defend. Gammer, will you say she hath your cock?
Oh, marry, sir, that toil not.
Dame Chat, will you confess her Neil?
Will I? No, sir, will I not.
Then there lieth all the matter.
Soft, master. By the way, you know she could do little, and she could not say nay.
Yea, but he that made one lie about your cock stealing will not stick to make another. What time lies be in dealing? My ween the end will prove this brawl did first arise upon no other ground but only Dickon's lies.
Though some be lies, as you belike have espied them, yet other some be true, by proof I have well tried them.
What other thing beside this, Dame Chat?
Marry, sir, even this. The tale I told before, the selfsame tale it was his. He gave me like a friend, warning against my loss. Else had my ends be stolen each one by God's cross. He told me Odge would come, and in he came indeed. But, as the matter chanced, with greater haste than speed. This truth was said, and true was found, as truly I report.
If Dr. Rat be not deceived, it was of another sort.
By God's mother! There will need be a couple of subtle foxes. Between you and Odge, I bear away the boxes. Did not Dickon appoint the place where they should stand to meet him?
Yes, by the mass. And if he came, bade me not stick to spite him.
God's sacrament! The villain knave hath dressed us round about. He is the cause of all this brawl, that dirty shitten lout. When Gammer Gurton here complained and made a rueful moan, I heard him swear that you had gotten her needle that was gone. And this to Troy, he further said he was full loath. Howbeit he was content with smaller due to bring me where to see it. Where he sat, Dickon said, full certain, if I would follow his rede into your house a privy way, he would me guide and lead. And where ye had it in your hands, sewn about a clout, and set me in a back hole, thereby to find you out. And whilst I sought a quietness, creeping upon my knees, I found the way to your door bar for my reward and fees. Such is the luck that some men gets while they begin to mell in setting at one such as were out, minded to make all well.
Was not well blessed, Gammer, to escape that scour. And Chad been there, then Chad been dressed belike as ill by the mass as gaffer vicar.
Marry, sir, here is a sport alone. I looked for such an end. If Dickon had not played the knave, this had been soon amend. My Gammer here, he made a fool, and dressed her as she was. And goodwife Chat, he set to scold, till both parts cried alas. And Dr. Rat was not behind, whilst Chat his crown did pair. I would the knave had been stark blind if Hodge had not his share.
Cham meetly well sped already amongst, Cham dressed like a colt, and Chad not had the better wit, Chad been made a dolt.
Sirs, make haste, Dickon, we're here. Fetch him wherever he be.
Fie on the villain. Fie. Fie that makes us thus agree.
Fie on him, knave, with all my heart. Now fie and fie again.
Now fie on him, may I best say, whom he hath almost slain.
Lo, where Dickon cometh at hand, belike he was not far. Dickon, here be 2 or 3 thy company cannot spare.
God bless you, and you may be blessed so many all at once.
Oh, come, knave, it were a good deed to geld thee by cock's bones. Seest not thy handiwork? Sir Rat, can ye forbear it?
A vengeance on those hands, light, for my hands came not near him. The horse and priest hath lift the pot in some of these alewives' chairs. That is Edward not certain, belike, to come down the stairs.
Oh, nay, soft. Thou mayst not play the knave and have this language too. If thou thy tongue bridle a while, the better mayst thou do. Confess the truth, as I shall ask, and cease a while to feeble. And for thy fault, I promise thee, thy handling shall be reasonable. Hast thou, Dickon, not made a lie or two to set these two by the ears?
What if I have? 500 such have I seen within these 7 years. I am sorry for nothing else but that I see not the sport which was between them when they met, as they themselves report.
The greatest thing, Master Rat, is see how he is dressed.
What devil? Need he be groping so deep in goodwife Chat's hen's nest?
Yea, but it was thy drift to bring him into the briars.
Gog's bread! Hath not such an old fool wit to save his ears? He showeth himself herein, you see, so very a cox. The cat was not so madly allured by the fox to run in the snares was set for him doubtless, for he leapt in for mice, and this, Sir John, for madness.
Well, and you shift no better, ye loser, lither and lazy. I'll go near for this to make you leap at a daisy. In the king's name, Master Bailey, I charge you, set him fast.
What? Fast at cards or fast on sleep? It is the thing I did last.
Nay, fast in fetters, false varlet, according to thy deeds.
Master Dr. Rat, there is no remedy. I must entreat you need some other kind of punishment.
Nay, by all hallows, his punishment, if I may judge, shall be naught else but the gallows.
That was too sore. A spiritual man to be so extreme.
Is he worthy any better, sir? How do you judge and deem?
I grant him worthy punishment, but in no wise so great.
It is a shame. I tell you plain, for such false knaves entreat. He has almost undone us all. That is as true as steel. And yet, for all this great ado, shall never the near my kneel.
Oh, canst thou not say anything to that, Dickon, with least or most?
Yea, marry, sir, thus much I can say well. The needle is lost.
Nay, canst not thou tell which way that needle may be found?
Oh, no, by my facer, though I might have 100 pounds.
Thou liar, Lictish, didst not say the needle would be gotten?
No, Hodge. By the same token, you were that time beshit for fear of
hobgoblin.
You what I mean. As long as it is since... Oh, I fear me yet. Ye be scarce clean.
Well, Master Rat, you must both learn and teach us to forgive, since Dickon hath confession made and is so clean shrieve. If ye to me consent to amend this heavy chance, I will enjoin him here some open kind of penance. Of this condition, where ye know my fee is 20 pence for the bloodshed, I am agreed with you here to dispense. Ye shall go quit, so that ye grant the matter now to run, to end with mirth among us all, even as it was begun.
Say yea, Master Vicar, and he shall sure confess to be your debtor, and all we that be here present will love you much the better.
Oh, my part is the worst. But since you all here on agree, go even to Master Bailey. Let it be so for me.
Now sayest thou, Dickon, art content this shall on me depend?
Go to, Master Bailey, say on your mind. I know ye are my friend.
Then, mark ye well to recompense this thy former action. Because thou hast offended all to make them satisfaction, before their faces here kneel down, and as I shall thee teach, for thou shalt take an oath of Hodge's leather breech. First for Master Doctor, upon pain of his curse, where he will pay for all, thou never draw thy purse. And when ye meet at one pot, ye shall have the first pull, and thou shalt never offer him the cup, but it be full. To good wife Chat, thou shalt be sworn, even on the same wise, if she refuse thy money once, never to offer it twice. Thou shalt be bound by the same here as thou dost take it. When thou mayest drink of free cost, thou never forsake it. For Gammer Girton's sake, again sworn shalt thou be, to help her to her needle again, if it do lie in thee. And likewise be bound by the virtue of that, to be of good a bearing to Gibber Great Cat. Last of all for Hodge, the oaf to scan, thou shalt never take him for fine gentleman.
Come on, fellow Dickon, shall be even with thee now.
Thou wilt not stick to do this, Dickon, I trow.
No, by my father's skin, my hand down I lay it. Look, as I have promised, I will not deny it. But, Hodge, take good heed now. Thou do not beshit me.
Gogsart, thou false villain! Dost thou bite me?
What, Hodge, doth he hurt thee ere ever he be begin?
He thrust me into the buttock with a bodkin or a pin. Oh, 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 I say, Gammer, Gammer!
How now, Hodge? How now?
Well, God's malt, Gammer Girton!
Oh, thou art mad, I trow.
Will you see the devil, Gammer?
The devil, son. God bless us.
Should if I were hanged, Gammer.
Marry, see, ye might dress us.
Travit, by the mass, what? Gammer.
Not my kneel, Hodge.
Your kneel, Gammer. Your kneel.
No. Fie, dost but dodge.
You found your kneel, Gammer. Here in my hand be it.
For all the loves on earth, Hodge, let me see it.
Soft, Gammer.
Good, Hodge.
Soft, I say. Tarry a while.
Nay, sweet Hodge. Say truth, and do not me beguile.
Cham sure in it, I warrant you. It goes no more astray.
Hodge, when I speak so fair, wilt still say me nay?
Go near the light, Gammer. 'Tis well, in faith. Good luck. 'Twas almost undone. 'Twas so far in my buttock.
'Tis mine own dear nail, Hodge. Secretly, I what?
Shall I not a good son, Gammer? Shall I not?
Oh, Christ's blessing light on thee has made me forever.
I knew that I must find it, else should I had it never.
By my troth, Gossip Girton, I am even as glad as though I, mine own self, as good a turn had.
And I, by my conscience, to see it so come forth, rejoice so much at it as three needles be worth.
I'm no whit sorry to see you so rejoice.
Nor I much the gladder for all this noise. Yet say gramercy, Dickon, for springing of the game.
Gramercy, Dickon, 20 times. Oh, how glad, Cham, if that should do so much, your masterdom to come hither. Master Rat, good wife Chat, and Dickon together. Chabot 1/2 as far as I know it, and shall not rest this night till I bestow it. Oh, if ever ye love me, let us go in and drink.
Oh, I am content, if the rest think as I think. Master Rat, it shall be best for you if we so do. Then shall you warm you and dress yourself too.
Soft, sirs, take us with you. The company shall be the more. As proud comes behind, they say, as any goes before. But now, my good masters, since we must be gone and leave you behind us here all alone, since at our last ending thus merry we be, for Gammer Girton's needle's sake, let us have applaudity.